All right, ready in Chemesh, Arba, Shalosh, Shtaim. Yeah! Hey, yeah, yeah! Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's at podcast! With Christina P.
First of all, hey, our prayers are with DMX, who is not well. He's in a coma right now, and you know he sang this theme song. So half nice $1 million to get him to do it, and thank you know. Anyway, thoughts and prayers, and I hope he's okay.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yes. So tour dates. Let's get that out of the way. Some business. For I think I've already done Des Moines by the time this thing airs. Fartniks, Phoenix, Arizona, April 23rd through 25th. Those tickets are moving fast. One night only. West Palm Beach Improv, Shart Lake Titties, Utah, Wise Guys Comedy Club, June 11th through 12th. That's two nights. July 15th through 17th, San Antonio, Tejas, Liberty Township, Ohio in July. And the train rolls through Columbus in August, Oklahoma City. So many dates. Denver is moved to October, and then Raleigh, Orlando. Oh, so many dates. ChristinaPOnline.com for your tickets.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And boom, that's the business. Now, I'm so happy you're here with me today. You're my favorite.
You're my
guiding
favorite.
Light. Let me tell you something. With us today, Dr. Jessica Hochman, Oak Park Pediatrics. The best. She's a mother of three. And the winner of the Rising Star Award in pediatrics. She is the Rising Star pediatrician 3 years in a row. You just got it again yesterday. At this point, I would say your star, bitch, is risen. Okay.
Thanks for, you're my biggest supporter after my parents and my husband.
Of course. Here, do me a favor, tilt this down so we can see that money making punem. There you go. And tilt it up, the mic.
The Yiddish punem.
Yeah.
Look at you.
You've been teaching me all that stuff now that I'm Jewish. Too. Pesach. You tell Pesach. Me how to say it.
Chag Sameach. So by the way, I'm tired just looking at all the dates you have.
Oh my God, girl.
I'm impressed.
Thanks, dude. Well, you do stuff. You and I have cultivated a lovely relationship. You're my pandemic friend. And I text with you and I'm like, how you doing? You're like, well, I already did my rounds at the hospital. I'm going to go work out and then I'm going to go do my appointments. I mean, you have three kids and you just went on vacation with your three kids.
I did.
How restful was that?
I wouldn't call it restful. That's not the first or the 100th word I'd use to describe our trip.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was good quality time with the kids. They got, we got a lot of time together. We went swimming a lot. And what was really a breakthrough in my parenting experience is that this is the first vacation I've been on. Because now my kids are five. I'll have an 8-year-old this month and 10.
Oh my
this is the
God.
First time we've traveled where we haven't needed a stroller.
Ah!
Diapers.
Ah!
A nap time to consider.
Oh!
And they sleep through the night.
Oh! Praise Allah!
So it definitely felt like we crossed a threshold where vacationing will be more enjoyable with the kids.
You've leveled up, bro.
Yeah.
You can move the arm up so that it goes to your mouth.
So that part felt good. I feel like parenting, I see the light.
Yeah.
Yes.
As they get more and more self-sufficient, it's great.
Definitely. We didn't need car seats for everybody.
Oh, man. I know. I'm finally, one kid is completely out of diapers. Ellis is no longer doing his night diaper.
Amazing.
And, and he started wiping his own ass this week, too.
Wow.
He's like, I did it. I did it, Mom. I'm like, damn, dude. I'm like, I'm still going to check your work.
Still got to check.
Yeah. I don't trust
yeah,
that.
You got to check.
Yeah. But
like
it is
teeth to brushing. Really... You got to check.
Oh, dude. They're so suspect with that.
Yeah. To like 8.
At least,
yeah.
Now, do you think I feel like the electric toothbrush is better than old school manual?
I love my electric toothbrush, but I think just brushing your teeth in general is the main thing
for
to
the
do.
Kiddos, though, yeah, for the kids. They're so slack about it, they don't care.
Yeah, yeah. Either one, as long as you're doing it.
Oh my God, three. Yeah, so that's good. So you finally had, like, you can do activities and they want to party.
We did activities. Oh, and they can all swim now.
Oh,
so that
man.
Was really big. Because usually if we go on a vacation, you have to watch them so carefully. And yeah. So this time we watched them, but we didn't have to be in the pool with them, which was for, you know, if you want to be a little lazy on vacation, that
I know.
Was a plus.
My friend has two kids and I was like, at what age do they have to be before you can go on a vacation and like lay on a chair and drink a margarita? And she's like, 10. And I was like, that's so long from
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so we're not quite there, but I see it. I see that it can happen. I see that it's a, you know, maybe in another few years.
Exciting.
Exciting, yes.
Now, do you think moms can ever wear a two-piece if they're in their 40s?
I think moms should definitely wear two pieces. Absolutely.
I'm not sure I can. I've seen moms who can.
Yes.
But I'm definitely upgraded my swimsuit game this season.
Good.
To trashier mom, because I've realized that my husband just wants to see my cans out. Like, he doesn't care, and no one else is checking me out anyways. Like, I'm past that, you know.
I don't know about that,
but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I'm not in the him. pool, I'm not in the market.
Yeah,
so like, why not just wear the sluttiest mom suit?
I agree. I mean, I heard your conversation, because I listen every week.
You are your mommy.
Monday morning. Yep. I listen every mommy. last week you were talking about gym wear and how people look at you. And in general, I feel like my feeling is no one's really, if they look, it's for a brief moment in time and they forget about you.
True.
So I'm of the mindset, just flaunt. Wear the gym clothes, flaunt it, wear the nice, if you want to wear a two piece, go for it. No one's really looking for that long.
You know, it took a long time. I think you're right. And learning that lesson that nobody cares about what you're doing.
Nobody cares.
I mean, there's a few people in your life that will give you some static.
Yeah.
But ultimately, no one's thinking about you. And that's in the best, I mean that in the most positive possible
Absolutely.
Way.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I think they judge for a brief moment in time and then they move on to the next.
Yeah. Cause I think maybe I'm projecting my own POS-ness on other people, cause I'm super judgy of strangers. Like, that's my job, is to make horrible judgments about things I know nothing about.
Right. Which is so fun when I hang out with you, because I get to turn my mind into a different way of thinking.
Into a piece of shit way of thinking.
No, it's good. Open my mind.
Yeah. So
things I never noticed before.
Yeah. You know what's interesting?
Now
though,
I notice. Is that at the gym, I noticed a really loud worker outer. I wouldn't
just
have thought about it.
Bring him up.
I wouldn't have thought about it. And then I was really like, wow, he's really loud.
It's inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
What noise do you remember how it sounded?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. It's so, I can't even fathom being that person.
Mm.
Like, I'm sure I'm an a-hole in so many other, like, I'm messy. Everybody knows that I'm the messy champ at Studio Jeans, and that's disregarding other people, definitely. But at least it's not.
You could look at it like that. I look at it like you have good priorities.
This is why we're friends. Yeah. You always see the bright side to my shitty
behavior.
You
care about the good things.
Okay.
Right,
so,
right, Nadav?
Yeah. Oh, he's not in there. We have Zolo, baby Zolo and Annie today, which, what's up?
Because your kids, you know where they are.
Am I sorry?
Your kids, you pay attention to where
are
they are.
Are you kidding?
That's the important part.
That is like, they occupy 98% of my brain on a daily.
You might not know where you put your trash, but you know where your kids are.
All times, bro. Yeah. All times.
So priorities.
Dialed in. Speaking of children, let's get started on this, because we had people write in questions to ask you, and I thought it best to have them written so that you can really reread if you need to or whatever. But first, I wanted to point out, now, really exciting, bizarre news. I don't think it's exciting. It's just bizarre. There was a baby born with three penises. The New York Post. Hard-hitting news, guys, from the New York Post. An Iraqi boy, no doubt, etched his name into the Phallic Hall of Fame. Oh, there's a Phallic Hall of Fame. Can
Let's
you believe
go.
This is how it's written? Like, as if there's a standing building, a Phallic Hall of Fame. After he was born with a whopping trio of penises, to the best of our knowledge, this is the first reported case with three penises or triphalia. Is that how you say that?
Triphalia.
So, little, he's a baby boy. Phalia. He's occurred from Duhok, was originally brought to the hospital by his parents when he was 3 months old due to swelling in the scrotum. However, when he arrived, doctors observed he had some extras. Okay, so let me ask you this. You've heard of this, right?
I heard of it thanks to you.
Oh!
Because you sent me the article.
Groundbreaking. Yeah.
I got a text in the morning about triphalia.
You heard of this
I get
one?
Educated. I get educated. I've never heard of it. I wonder if, though, I'm a little bit dubious about it. I'd
Go
like
ahead.
To see a picture.
Ooh, you nasty girl. Yeah, you see a picture?
Because what if it's some... It could be an enlarged lymph node. It could be something else. It could be a bulge. It could be a hernia.
Go ahead. Let's Google triphalia.
Like true... To have three true penises makes me...
This is true. I that's an interesting point. And also three functional. I doubt that all three
right.
would be functional. That would require like three urethras, three... Oh, there's
just thinking
diphalia,
of the embryology. I don't know.
Is this
that looks like?
What does that look like? A micropenis. Yeah. How many of those have you seen in your life?
I think there are not many.
We love to talk about micropenises in this studio.
Not many.
Not many.
No.
Yeah.
No. There's a range in sizes, but there's a big range of what's normal.
Yeah.
Huge range.
Huge range of what's normal.
Yes.
Go ahead, elaborate on that. So like when you...
There's actually graphs that describe what sizes are normal. I'll send it to you.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah.
But when a newborn, when you see a newborn, can you tell if he's going to have a big peener when they're a newborn or is that...
There's a lot of swelling in the genital area when kids are first born. So a lot of times the testicles will look bigger or the genitalia will look larger. So it's hard to really tell at birth. Mm. But most kids, most kids look normal.
Normal.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Difference. Some difference in sizes, but normal.
Yeah. Cause, we had a somebody write in a while back. They were concerned. They're like, should I be concerned that my son's penis is, it looks abnormally small? Should I say something to him? Like, hey, maybe, you know, gosh, I don't know. Like, what do you tell me? Like if you notice your child has an abnormally small penis, should you have dad talk to him and be like, hey, dude, you've got a small... I don't know. What's the conversation, you know? Like, just a heads up.
I think the first part is just functionality. You want to make sure that, you know, they're urinating well, that they've got two descended testicles, that everything's working properly. And then a lot of it changes when they go through puberty. So at that point, the phallus of the penis will lengthen. So I wouldn't worry about it until they bring it up. But what's funny is... Every single time I see a newborn, every day a baby's born, I go to the hospital and I'll see a newborn. And the parents will somewhat pay attention in general, but the dads really perk up when I examine the penis.
Of course.
Always. They just want to make sure, like, yeah. I have to say the words, it looks great, it looks normal, perfect. And then you can see that they're relieved
thank God.
Have to mention it because they're very curious. Dads tend now, to in general not
of,
just,
of
not
course
to, not to you know stereotype but
how dare you
yeah
so also how have you noticed, because we talked about circumcision on your mom's house,
yes,
how I can't say that we're right prevalent
are circumcisions,
yeah, like what's the ratio now, people in California anyways that you've been seeing?
It's a great question. Last I've read, it's about 50% circumcised and 50% do not, and that's in the United States, which is a difference. When I was younger, it was about 90% circumcised and 10 did not.
So we've really made a cultural shift.
Absolutely. A lot of it depends too on where people are coming from, like what their cultural background, their religious background. So I never assume anybody wants to get a circumcision. I leave it entirely to the family's preference.
And in LA?
About 50-50.
And in your practice, you think, what do you see?
Probably more in my practice do circumcise, but a fair amount don't.
Wow. And do you shame them? Like, ugh.
That's so
gross.
My style.
Yeah.
I love to make people feel bad. That's how I roll.
Be like, ugh, women won't love you. You're going to look weird. Yeah.
No, I think it's really... Yeah, there's some small medical benefits to doing it, but not enough to justify convincing anybody one way or the other.
It's a medical necessity.
It's become a very heated topic, though. That's one thing, you know, so I don't want to offend anybody.
I know, but I've heard. It's like, so what are the benefits medically of circumcising?
So in the first 6 months, there's a decreased risk of urinary tract infections, small decreased risk, but there is a decreased risk. And when kids are older, there is a decreased risk of STIs or sexually transmitted infections.
When they're older.
When they're sexually active.
When did they change the word from STD to STI? Because growing up, it was sexually transmitted disease.
I don't know. Maybe 10 years ago?
Okay, because I
said that was in residency. It changed.
Yeah, because I say STD on stage and someone's like, it's STI, you stupid bitch.
Always
like,
changing.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys. I'm not a whore. I'm not out there getting them yet anymore, I mean.
Chest feeding.
Breastfeeding. Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, how many...
But I will say one last thing about STIs. Yes. If you wear a condom, that's enough. Yeah.
Prevention.
Yeah.
So it's small. It sounds like...
So if they don't do it, you educate them on how to, you know, have safe sex and how to clean properly, and it's okay.
And meaning it's you pull the skin back and you have to get in there to really clean.
That's right.
An uncircumcised penis.
That's
so
right.
Really, it's like, meh, it seems like an aesthetic cultural choice. It's
parents
neither here nor there.
That's okay. Right.
That's good. And just out of curiosity, in your own private practice, how many... I guess, can I ask trans kids, like truly, like how are you seeing more of that in this generation than before?
I think so. Yeah, definitely seeing more. I have a handful.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Some know when they're I have a couple where the children are young, 4 or 5 years old, and they've identified with a different gender from the beginning. And then I have a couple of patients that are older in their late teens, early 20s.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That stuff always is very interesting to me.
Some non-binaries.
You have non-binaries.
Definitely.
So I'm reading The End of Gender by Dr. Deborah So, which is it sounds like it's pro the end of gender, but it's actually the scientific evidence that this woman has accumulated and researched and stuff about sex and gender and her findings. And it's real. I'm gonna have her on the show eventually. I'm just loving her. I love it.
No, it's good. And I really want those patients to know that they can come to me with questions, that I can be there for them, be supportive for them. And making sure they feel like it's a comfortable, open environment.
Yeah. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good for this generation that they feel like they can come out and say that stuff. You know, like, I feel like I'm... But how many do you see medically, like, when you see newborns? Like, how many of those newborns do you see, like, have both genitals or have
ambiguous genitalia and things like that? I mean, we read about it a lot and we learn about it in medical school. I've actually never seen a case.
You're kidding.
Which is, I think, you know, I probably will in my career, but I personally have not.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Oh, wow.
I know. Maybe one that I forgot that I don't remember, but
yeah. Let's do some follow-ups before we get into listener questions.
Oh gosh.
Let's do some voicemail follow-ups first, and then we'll get into your questions.
I like your sweater.
Thank you. It's shimmery, right?
I like it. When are we going to get your two-piece?
Get the fuck out of here, two-piece.
Dude! French bread pizza in Salisbury Steaks. I have never felt so seen or heard. I grew up on that. My mom would be working late. Papa would pop it in the oven. And I know exactly what you're talking about with the strings of your gum flesh hanging down.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember eyes tearing up. Didn't even matter. It was so good, especially those little crusty pepperonis. Yeah, man. And the Salisbury Steaks, like, I still
good
don't
shit.
Know what they are. I'm glad Nadav looked it up, but, like, I don't even care. So juicy. And what about the microwave mashed potatoes?
Yeah, those are dirty
good, too. Do you
ever
do that? Like, the flakes of potatoes.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
add
yeah,
butter
yeah.
and water to. Put them in the
so
microwave
good.
In, like, an old Tupperware.
This chick's just
so
high.
Good. Thank you for covering this.
She gets
I
it.
So appreciate you.
You got it.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, they're box. You ever have box mashed potatoes? That is the epitome of white trash, latchkey kid food. It comes, it's like freeze dried in a box, and then you add water and butter, I think. It is so jank and so good. Yeah. No, you had nice, loving parents.
My mom liked to make a
shout out to Sandy and Andy.
It's her birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday!
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to point out that Dr. Jessica has an Instagram. Ask Dr. Jessica. She posts. You've been doing this out of the kindness of your own heart as a service to your parents and your practice, because you get asked the same questions over and over the years, and she makes these videos. telling people, you know, giving them, here's one on nasal allergies. I actually love the one you did on choking recently, choking on foods, because you're like, hot dogs are a big one. And I give my little one hot dogs and I started to cut them up now.
Good.
What other foods did you say? Popcorn is a big chokey.
Yes. Popcorn, you want to be careful. So in general, when kids are little, they tend to be healthy, right? But where the problems come are from accidents, like where the big issues come. And so there's a lot we can do to prevent accidents in general, and choking is huge. Mm. So every year there are some choking incidences, and I'd love to see it go to zero.
Ugh.
So hot dogs are a big one.
Meaning like don't hand them the whole one, cut up the dog?
That's right. The best thing to do is to cut it once horizontally.
Okay.
And then cut it like pie pieces.
Pie pieces. Got you. Oh, got you. Yeah.
Yeah. So cut it horizontally and vertically.
Okay.
A couple, like three times through.
Okay.
Yes.
Chef scissors, guys. I invest. My sister-in-law told me this before I had kids. You get those meat scissors that they use at like dim sum restaurants.
Yes.
And then you don't have to use a knife every 2 seconds. I cut food all the time with these.
Good.
Meat scissors are so effective. what other accidents do you see that could be prevented?
Oh, it was upsetting because a parent had it. We had a near drowning accident. The kid's okay, but the mom found her little kid face down in the pool.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Turned blue, but she resuscitated the kid, called 911. Things like that are really frightening to me.
So what can we do to prevent?
Gates.
Baby gates. Baby around gates, the pool.
Number one. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby gates.
They're expensive, but do them.
Worth it.
Yeah. Cause what's more, you don't want to lose. It's precious, man.
Worth it.
Yeah. Worth every penny.
Every penny.
And how soon can you
teach? More important, I think, than swim lessons, because if a kid falls, even if they have swim lessons and they fall in the pool with clothes on and no one's watching, it can still be very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what age can you start teaching?
You love my downer stories,
I get
right?
so scared because every now and then I put a glass of wine in her and I'm like, all right, tell me the horror, man. What do I got to watch out for? So I've done my research for you guys and I'm getting her to tell you now all the horror stories that I've heard.
She gets it out of me.
Because you're right. Because like you do tell me these freak stories and then I'm like, oh my God. So drowning is huge. So wait, how old should we start having our children learn to swim?
So you can start really young. There's early swim. You can start them very young. There's
like
something
6 months?
6 months you can start. You can start at any age, honestly, to get them comfortable in the water. I've had some patients that their kids are swimming before they're even walking.
Wow.
But I really think true progress with swimming comes after 3 years old.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, usually the lessons before that aren't that helpful.
It's useful. Yeah. It's just good to get them to do something for a half an hour in the summertime. Yeah. And you're like, all right, that didn't fucking work.
Yeah.
Okay.
But true progress, I think, after, that's my experience with my own children, is after 3.
Yeah, they really have the coordination and
that's
stuff.
Right.
What other stuff can we do preventatively
for children?
Yeah, just like so other stuff you see erasers in the nose. We've talked about that.
Yes, nose and ears all the time. That happens all the time.
What
kids love to put Legos everywhere in every orifice. The ears all the time.
In the ears.
Legos in the ears, Legos in the nose. They choke on Legos.
That's what's terrifying.
Yeah, Legos.
So what do you do if your kid shoves a Lego up their nose or ear? What do you do?
Great question. There's a few things you can do.
Okay.
Ear, I would say, I would just go to the doctor.
Okay.
You can try, if it's not too far in, you can try going to your pediatrician, or if it looks like it's really lodged inside, I would go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. In the nose, what you can do, there's some tricks you can do that might actually save you a trip going to the doctor.
Sweet.
If you basically, so let's say there's an object, let's say you put a Lego in your left nostril. If you cover, if they're old enough, you have the child cover their right nostril and pretend to sneeze. And so if they keep their mouth closed, cover the right nostril and blow, a lot of times it will come out.
Okay.
Or if they're little enough, as a parent, you can try to invoke a sneeze in your child. So you basically, you yourself will cover their nostril and you'll basically do mouth to mouth and breathe really hard into their mouth and try to get enough air pressure to get the object to come out of the other nostril.
Dang.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I describe that right?
You're forcing air out of their nose.
That's right.
Through like mouth to mouth.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. And is that what you do to the patient when they...
I wouldn't do that to a patient.
I'm like, what do you shove tongs up there to get them out? Like, how do you get
them
out?
You can do that. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Sometimes you can do something called a Foley to get it out, where you put a tube past the point where the object is and you put a balloon behind it and it and then you pull it out and it comes out. Oh, we have some tricks. We pediatricians have some tricks.
That's wild, man. What a job. What a job.
Yeah.
Okay, any other things off the top of your head that parents can do
to be careful?
Like, yeah, I mean,
oh, there's so much. Cars are a big one. I always, so in all of my visits, I always try to bring up safety. I think safety is so important because so many of my visits are about, let's say, fevers or colds or illnesses, and usually kids, you know, by and large recover, but safety is a big part of
prevention.
Yeah, cars are big, crossing the street. A lot of kids that are young don't realize how dangerous cars are. Mm. So they run away from their parents. And yeah, we've even tried buying our kids. It didn't last for very long, but those leashes.
That's what I was just going to say.
Because I get so nervous.
So do
with
I.
With cars, yeah.
The leashes.
Yeah.
I did it with Ellis.
You
I'm going to have to do it with Julian.
Well, we did it when we went to the
runner.
Grand Canyon.
Yeah. And it worked, nervous. Right?
Yeah.
They hate it.
They hate it.
Well, there's cute ones you can buy that look like animal backpacks. So it's like they're putting on a backpack.
Make it fashionable.
Yeah.
Legal restraints.
Yeah. Found them on Amazon.
Yeah. Cars, you know, looking both ways, making sure kids know to respect cars and always look for cars. Mm. Proper seatbelts, you know, proper car seats.
Mm. What age can I knock that stuff off?
The car seats?
Yeah.
4'9".
Okay.
In between 8 and 12 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The idea is that the child should be able to sit with their feet flat on the ground in the car.
Okay.
And when they put the strap, it should go nicely over their chest.
Gotcha.
So if they're too little, it'll go over their neck. So they should be tall enough and weigh enough.
Okay. It's so funny because I have zero recollection of being in a car seat. Right?
My parents talk about that they didn't have car seats. They just walked around their parents' car. They're able to move around freely.
Yeah. They used to have a big bench in the front, right? Like on those whatever Buicks or something, and you just sit in the middle.
Yeah.
And even at the age of 5, I remember not wearing a car seat and sitting right in the front without a seatbelt. So
people smoked in cars, or they still do, I guess. But
But back in the day,
kids roamed around. Yeah,
your mom would smoke with the windows up. Not your mom, just like anybody's mom. Most people's moms did. It's wild.
Yeah, it's true. No, but car safety, I think, is, and then also now there's so many distracted drivers. People are texting and driving and not paying attention. So
that's scary to me. That's always the scariest.
I agree.
And there's no way the police can pull over everybody that's doing that. It's like we're all doing it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's
I read something once, like over 25% of car accidents now involve somebody looking at something to do with their cell phone.
Of course.
Yeah. Makes probably even higher, I'll bet.
Fuck. Yeah. I just figured out, hey, Siri.
Yeah,
I'm such an idiot. I was like, there's got to be a way to use your phone without using your hands. And the boys were like, yeah, dummy. It's called Hey Siri. So now I talk to that dumb bitch in the car all the time.
Do you really?
I do. Yeah, yeah. She doesn't always hear me the first time, and then I get mad at her.
Yeah. My daughter's name is Sadie, so I'll say Sadie, and Siri's always responding to that. So I wish I had a different name for Siri.
I know. Okay, let's break it up. Let's do another follow-up voicemail, and then I want you to answer. Pick a question that you're interested in. Let's do another follow-up.
Christina, I am calling to let you know that I have never let anything make me dry heave more than the fact that your husband rolls up boogers and puts them in your car. I know that you have been putting your floss sticks on the floor, but that's just laziness. Rolling up boogers is just pure, I can't. It's so fucking gross. Yeah. I can't.
It's disgusting.
How about you just do your flossing in the bathroom and Tom just like fucking stops doing his booger rolling? Anyway, this is Katie from Nebraska.
Hi, Katie.
Keep tight, mommy. Bye.
You sound like his sister Maria. I thought it was my sister-in-law for a minute there. She's like, anyway, that's all. You guys are so disgusting. Thank you. I agree. We're both disgusting, but I think boogers are grosser. You tell me from a medical perspective, what's more disgusting, what I'm doing or what my husband is doing? You're a medical doctor. Go ahead.
Such an important topic to weigh in on. I'm so glad I get an opportunity. I think you summed it up pretty well. I think they're both disgusting, but if I had to pick, I would definitely, I would not want boogers rolled up in my car.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would not.
Okay, this brings me to nose picking. When I ask my 3-year-old son to stop picking his nose and licking it, he instead shoves both fingers up there and licks them both. How do I get him to stop? Do I just ignore it and have people think I'm down with what's happening? My husband used to tell him it would make his legs hurt, so he stopped for a bit. But now anytime his legs hurt, he's just like, I was picking my nose. That's why they hurt. Please help me get my disgusting monster child to cut this out. Thanks.
Kate, that's a really good question. Yeah. But I think it's probably a universal issue for parents.
I mean, my kids don't yet. I did. I was a huge nose picker.
Yeah.
And sorry to say it, booger eater. Now, what are the repercussions of that?
I love how you admit to everything.
What am I going to do? Pretend? I can't lie. Who cares? No, they don't care.
That's why you're so great. Everybody else lies.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, yeah. I wouldn't do it now. Bert Kreischer, on the other hand, still picks his nose and eats them, the boogers. Is that medically bad?
He eats them?
He eats his boogers. Yeah.
Why?
Because he likes the taste. Is there anything medically wrong with eating your own boogers? Can first of all, let's do it with children. Let's do it with children first. Yeah, and then we'll get to Bert.
So I think how I would phrase it with my children, or how I have phrased it with my kids, I don't want to make them feel shamed or bad about the behavior because it's so normal.
Yeah.
But I want to explain to them rationally why it might not be the best idea. And so I tell them that our hands are dirty and that if you put your dirty hands in your nose, that you can get sick. And that's how we can get colds and illnesses. So I try to hopefully dissuade them from doing it for like rational reasons.
Yeah. And then when that doesn't work,
Kleenex, clean your hands, use a Kleenex, and do it in the bathroom.
Be like, hey, would you like a Kleenex when you see them doing
it? Yeah, Kleenex all over our house.
Yeah. Do you need a Kleenex?
Yeah.
Do you want to go to the bathroom and do that?
Yeah.
So really, I mean, it sounds like the lie, sometimes the lying words, it'll make your legs hurt. is a good one. My dad told me if I didn't stop sucking my thumb, the Wicked Witch would take it away, and that worked.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I mean, I was traumatized, clearly, but...
That made it work.
I hated the witch. I was scared.
Thumb sucking, there's some good tips. Because when I was a kid, I thumb sucked, and my parents would put that really disgusting tasting...
Yeah.
You know, you can put, like, lemon on the thumb, or you can put fish oil on the thumb, or there's, like, really bad tasting... applicators, but I used to wash it off. And so now a tip for parents, I really like something called a tea guard. That worked for my daughter. I don't know if you want to Google it, but if anybody has a thumb sucker out there that they want to break the habit, see it on, there you go. Yeah.
Oh, and you put it on the thumb so that they can't.
Yeah. And then every day it comes with different colored wristbands and you can make it really fun for them. I know.
That is so embarrassing, right? Wow.
But they're usually five. You know.
See, I find that shame does, like, I part of me goes, well, eventually they're going to go to school and other kids are going to be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing, kid?
It's true.
And they'll be like, oh, this is not appropriate
anymore.
It's
totally true. Yeah. Parents ask me all the time about how to stop thumb sucking. And I've read that over 90% of kids stop on their own by kindergarten because they become socially conscious.
Yeah.
So it's true.
So, shaming, but back to the question of, shame is a powerful, wonderful tool, and we need to bring it back on so many issues.
Like what?
Gosh, obesity. I think it's really important. Look, it cannot be healthy to be overweight. You tell me, is it fine to be overweight as an adult?
It's not. It's
unhealthy.
It's unhealthy. Yes. Yeah. But. Again, like, I don't know. I'd probably rather explain it to them why it's unhealthy than make them feel bad.
Not going to work.
Not going to work.
You know why? I'll tell you why it doesn't work. Because when you've got bad habits.
Yes.
Bad habits are not broken with logic and reason. For instance, I smoked for 17 years. Did I know that rationally it was awful?
Yes.
100%. You could tell me a million. I could read the warning on the label and then buy that box of cigarettes.
Right.
So it's an irrational thing you're doing and needs to be broken with shame and horror. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it needs to be irrational.
Or they tell us that if you want to get a teenager to stop smoking, instead of telling them about the fears of lung cancer and that doesn't work, but they care more if you tell them their skin's going to look bad. if you make it more superficial, it has more of an effect.
Yeah.
Because I think they think cancer is so far down the road and it won't happen to them.
That's what I thought. I was like, yeah, but by the time I would get cancer, I'd be old and I'm going to die anyway. Yeah.
But if you tell them they'll look not as attractive, or, you know, guys won't want to date you, or whoever's not going to want to date you.
That would have worked on me.
Yeah.
That guys don't want to date you. Yeah. I'd be like, what? I would stop that.
Yeah.
So wait, hold on. Is booger eating harmful to your child?
I don't think so. You know, boogers are just, they're dry. It's dried mucus. So there's nothing inherently bad about it. Yeah. But if someone's sick, it carries a lot of virus, a lot of bacteria.
And they're just eating it again.
Yeah, it's just more.
It's just grody.
It's gross, yeah.
Now, what about Bert Kreischer eating his boogers as an adult?
I think that I'd be more curious about the psychology behind why he's doing
it. Same.
Yeah.
Because Tom and I discussed it in the car the other day. I was like, wait.
What does his wife say?
Oh, listen, good question. Let's have Leanne Kreischer back on. Make a note. We will ask Leanne. Leanne is so like over Bert. They've been together for so many years. I imagine she's like, well, if Bert wants to pick his nose, it's disgusting, but I can't stop it.
Because I think a lot of men behave more maturely because they want to look good for their spouse.
You'd think that, but that doesn't deter Bert at all. So, but Bert, as an adult, it would be the same level of, but you're just eating bacteria and you're eating virus. It can't be great.
If you're sick, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but like it's harmless. It's just gross.
I think it's harmless
socially.
And gross.
He should know better. He doesn't.
Probably more of social implications I'd be
worried about that people think you're a disgusting animal. It doesn't seem to bother him. Oh, I was gonna
ask
you.
Maybe that's his appeal. I don't know.
I don't know. Still love you, Bert. Passy, my 2.5-year-old,
yes,
pushing 3 now almost,
yes,
is still into Passy. And we're going to move soon. So now I'm like, I can't break his Passy habit before the big move. What do I do?
Excellent question.
Thank you.
So pacifiers. Okay. So you're going to talk to different people. Different pediatricians will have different opinions on pacifiers, bottles, thumb sucking. I'm a little bit on the soft side because I think that kids are only young for so long. And I think that it's nice if they have something to soothe themselves. So, you know, I'm a little soft on pacifiers, but the negatives, so you ask, well, why should you stop? I think they can become annoying, you know, at
it's
some point.
It's so annoying. Last night,
if you can't find a pacifier, it can be annoying. It can be, you know, there's some teeth effects, I guess, where the front teeth push out a little more. But with my son, he was using a pacifier over 2, and we made the decision to stop the habit because it was just like, I remember my husband went for a CVS run at 11 p.m. because we couldn't find a pacifier. He was hoarding them and hiding them. And I said, this is not making our life easier. This is making things harder. So then we decided to try to stop the pacifier. But I will say kids, in general, I think have an easier time with it than we give them credit for.
Got you.
We think it's going to be really hard. And, you know, I've seen people have pacifier goodbye parties and make a whole thing about it. However you do it, kids are very resilient.
All right. How do I do it before the move? Do I try to, or do I wait?
It's up to you.
And then how do I do it?
Does it help? Does it help him a lot?
He likes it so much. His bow. He calls it a bow.
He does.
Yeah. He just loves his lovies and his bows.
There's different, you know, you could have it's more helpful in your life than annoying.
Well, last night he did scream, well, my bow. And I had to go in and find his bow. So that was annoying.
Yeah. So once it becomes more annoying than helpful, then I would stop.
Yeah. And what do I do? Do I have a Passy goodbye party?
You can. Some people like to cut the tips off the tops of the pacifiers like a little bit every day. I think that's too much work. Mm. I just took it away.
Just cold turkey?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. I know when to do it. All right.
It's pretty. Once you just get rid of them out of the house, that's it.
There is no Passy.
There's no more Passy. Same with bottles. Once they're out of the house,
Bottles. So basically it sounds like it's a subjective choice with the bottle. I mean, yeah, teeth damage. My kid, the dentist was like, your kid's going to need braces anyway.
Right.
And she goes, the best thing she said to me, she goes, yeah, well, what did she say? Passies are cheaper than therapy. No, braces are cheaper than therapy. And I was like, that's a good point.
Yeah. I'm a softie.
Whatevs.
I think when kids are, you know, we're having them stop bottles at the recommendation is to stop bottles at 1. I'm a softie on that one as well, because I think if it gives them comfort, they can soothe themselves. The big harm is the cavities.
If you
don't brush. Just want to make sure you brush your teeth after using a milk bottle before bed.
There you go.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was such a softy too. Jeez. Well, here's a question apropos of this discussion. I would like to know if my baby sleeps with mommy and daddy every night. Is it okay? He seems to wake up many times a night. What should we do? He's almost 8 months. What age are you supposed to let a baby cry themselves back to sleep? How long are you supposed to let them cry in their cribs? Really tough to do, especially if he keeps crying. Is there a limit that you suggest? Also, I heard it is best to get babies off the bottle by 1 year old. Is that important and why? So there's a lot of questions. Yeah. We just discussed the bottle thing.
Yeah, so the bottle, as long as you're brushing your teeth or brushing your child's teeth before bed or after using the bottle.
I mean, because they get teeth rot.
That's right, yeah. Or a lot of families, I find, will do what's called bottle propping. So they'll, as a tactic to get their kid to go to sleep, they'll put the bottle in their child's mouth and the child will fall asleep with a bottle in their mouth, and that can definitely lead to cavities.
Yeah.
So you want to brush teeth after.
There's sugar in milk. So let's unpack this. Mom sleeps with mommy and daddy. He seems to wake up many times a night. What should we do? What age are you supposed to let a baby cry themselves back to sleep?
So, okay, there's so many opinions on this. But in what I've learned and what I read, I think it's safe to let them cry themselves to sleep when they're weighing both, like somewhere between 4 and 6 months, and when they're weighing between 14 and 16 pounds. So when they're too little, I don't think it's safe, because when they cry, they're truly hungry. Mm. There's a potential they're truly hungry. But when they get around 4 months old, their sleep wave patterns, their brain sleep wave patterns lengthen, and they truly can have the ability to sleep like 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah. And some kids do. It's a miracle. Yeah.
But sleep's very sticky. I mean, it's a sticky subject. Some parents really want to know how to sleep train, and I'll explain it to them. And some parents feel uncomfortable with the idea of having their child, not tended to all the time.
Yeah, for sure. It's so subjective. How long are you supposed to let them cry in their cribs?
How long?
Really tough to do, especially if he keeps crying. Is there a time limit you suggest? I think she's talking about that incremental crying it out approach.
Okay, so a couple ways to think about it. One is, I'll tell parents to distinguish the type of cry. So sometimes if they do a little like a crux, like a little cry, I would try to ignore those. But if they really cry where it sounds like they're uncomfortable in desperation, I think, I try to respond to those cries. But the idea is to not give them too much. If their goal is to cry it out or to sleep train them, you want to give them the minimal attention possible, like soothe them and then put them back to sleep. Soothe them, put them back in their crib.
Makes sense. Yeah. And also, the more you get to know that baby,
yes,
you can tell what's fake news cry.
That's right. Like, distinguishing the cry. I believe in that. Yes.
You can tell. I know, like with Juju, that fool is passed out. Like, if he cries, something is wrong, and I better go down there.
Yes.
Like, if it's because he is not, like, he never cries wolf with me, because he loves to sleep.
Yes.
But
I will say, though, that kids are really resilient. So however a parent out there wants to do it, your kid is going to be just fine.
They're just fine.
If you have them cry it out all night, they will be just fine. There's some parents that tell me that there were studies, done where crying it out, their kids were less secure as they got older. And I believe those studies were based on an orphanage in Romania where kids were truly like neglected. For a long time.
Yeah, they were neglected during the day and then
so if you sleep train and they cry for too long and it's like a week long, your child's gonna be okay. They're gonna feel secure, they're gonna feel loved.
Yeah, I guarantee the Romanian orphanage is just sustained neglect. Oh man,
sad.
Okay, hello bad mommy. Bad isn't bad baby. Hey, b-a-h-d, you know that bad baby girl,
catch me outside, how about that?
The new
millionaire?
Oh, you heard.
Caught headlines.
Yeah, she did her own OnlyFans.
Catch me outside.
There she
is.
Good for her. She made $1 million in 6 hours on OnlyFans.
Oh my goodness.
What a wonderful world. What a wonderful country.
The American dream.
Yeah. As Yakov Smirnov used to do. What a wonderful country this is. I love America. Okay.
I never heard the clip, though, till watching your show.
Oh, the bad baby?
Yeah, I have to watch the real Dr. Phil clip.
Ugh. Yeah, Dr. Phil, his face, he's just like, what? She's like, yeah, catch me outside. He's like, catch you outside? Like, he's such a honky, you know? He's like, God, that show. How is he? Dr. Phil's on like season 40 of the Dr. Phil show.
Yeah, wow.
Who is he like finding at this point?
Good for him.
Just the bottom of the crazy barrel. The catch me outside girl was like a decade ago, right? And now,
Like, what could you possibly be doing?
He started a podcast too, I think, right?
Oh, I love his podcast. Yeah. I love Dr. Phil, by the way. I just think doing a TV show, 18 seasons and making it interesting and like compelling, and daytime television is so hard. It is a different beast. It's such a difficult animal.
Nobody watches it, right?
Well, you're entertaining like stay-at-home moms, the older people. Like, because you'll notice the commercials are like, mesothelioma, do you have it? And you're like, I don't even know what that is, dude. I'm too young for that. It's all about catheters. Uh-oh. And like, it's a strange demo he has to appeal to. But okay, I want to make sure I want to get it through everybody's questions because I really appreciate you guys writing into Dr. Jessica.
Thank you.
Okay, let's talk about this one. I have a 10-month-old cisgendered personal privileged boy that is vaccinated. Good. That's also, I'd like to point out how many privileges your child has. I don't know if you've seen the privilege chart.
The privilege chart?
I texted it to you. Oh, fuck. All right, here we go. My sister has a 3-year-old and 11. Oh, are you bringing it up? Sorry, now that I mentioned it. So somebody sent me this thing from Harvard Westlake that they're teaching children now about their points of personal privilege. And
it's on their Instagram page.
There's 18. Oh, it's on their Instagram page? Harvard Westlake's?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Their diversity.
Yeah. The Ministry of Diversity.
I'll send it to you.
The Ministry of Gender. It's wild. It's interesting. It's all interesting, folks, but it's fun to count.
It's called like Harvard Westlake Woke, something like that. I think so.
Really cool. Yeah. All well intentioned.
Yeah, there you go.
All well intentioned. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this.
There you go. Yeah.
There's the privilege wheel. So there's 18 on top, 18 on the bottom. And if you look at this wheel, you can count how many privileges you have. Now, because we're women, we're below the line, so that's automatically DQ, or like we're one. Now, if you're of a minority faith, that's another one too. So you and I are
Jews. Just can't even, my eyesight's not
it's not even that good. Yeah. Attraction,
complicated.
Thin, tall, attractive, heterosexual, sexual, cisgender, male, person of color, dark skin. It's like it's a whole thing, man. It is interesting. Again, I think well-intended. I don't know.
I'm not smart enough.
Same. Yeah, I mean, it's above me. I don't fucking know. I just remember back in the 90s, people were like, hey, we're all one. What happened to that? Okay.
Back in the 90s.
Yeah, remember it was like, we're one. One love. One love, man.
Still one love.
It's still one love?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So, they have a 10-month-old cisgendered personal privileged boy that is vaccinated. My sister has a 3-year-old and 11-month-old boys. My sister has a 3-year-old and 11-month-old boys who aren't. Are there any issues I should worry about with my son being around my nephews and vice versa? Glad I could see those big tits fart. You made me come up in April, Brandon. Well, thanks, Brandon. Thank you for watching the live show.
Okay, so the question is that her children are vaccinated and the cousins are not?
Correct.
So I think the main thing is that you protected your own children. Yeah. So that's the main thing. You know, I look at it like when you're vaccinating your children, it's like you're driving with your seatbelt on, that you're protecting your kids just in case.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Let's talk about vaccines for a moment.
Okay. Ooh, we're going there.
I love it. I mean, because it's...
Yes, me too.
Why is it a hot... Go ahead. Why is it a hot topic debate, and is there any validity to the people who claim that vaccines are harmful for their children?
So I do think that it's important to acknowledge that there are some risks to getting vaccines. Side effects can happen. And if you say that they don't happen, that's not being honest. You know, I have seen kids where they get rashes or they get fevers. I've never had a kid have a bad effect from a vaccine. But there are side effects that happen. They're usually resolvable within 24 hours. But I do think in my heart of hearts and from everything I read that I think vaccines are the best thing that's happened to medicine.
I really do.
I think, you know, I practice pediatrics with my dad. He's been practicing for over 40 years. And he tells me, he's like, you're so lucky to be practicing now where you don't have to worry about things like measles and Haemophilus influenza.
Or chickenpox even now. Polio. Yeah. Polio was a thing in his generation, right?
Yeah, they say in pediatrics that we're vaccinating ourselves out of business. You know, like that we are,
great.
It's great. It really is great. So I think, I think we're really lucky to be living, except for COVID, I know, but I think in general, this is a great time to be living health-wise.
Yeah.
And so a lot we don't have to worry about anymore, thanks to vaccines and clean water.
Okay, next question. At bath time, my three-year-old daughter complains that her vagina hurts when we wash it. I'm using Dove Baby Sensitive and fragrance-free for eczema-prone skin, which she had when she was a baby. Yes. Should I not be using soap on her vagina? She doesn't complain about it hurting when she pees, so it doesn't seem to be a UTI. I'm feeling really talked about this issue, considering I also have a vagina, and I don't know what to do for her.
Great question. Okay, this comes up all the time. So for whatever reason, little girls have very sensitive vaginal tissue. They're much more sensitive when they're younger, and they complain more about irritation in that area than when they're older. Mm. So I do not recommend soap. I don't think the...
Really?
Yeah, yep, they don't need to use soap. Just clean water.
Clean, okay, yeah. So hold on.
Yes.
Back that ass
yes.
up. What if it's, I like to use, Burt's whatever soap and face, yeah. I put that in the tub like
don't
as for
to.
Bubbles, and then you can just like wash the meow with water?
Water's enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Bubble baths are very irritating to the vagina.
Oh, so don't even do a bubble. Don't no soap, to. Just nope. water.
I know. I'm blowing your mind.
I did not know that because I'm washing peeners all day long.
Yeah.
What about penises? Any advice on washing peeners?
No.
No.
Just regular
soap.
Same soap water.
Wow.
Yeah. So you don't need to use any soap. And then if they're irritated, I think a good trick that works like 90-something% of the time, my experience, is putting some Desitin on after. So just clean the vaginal area with regular clean water and then applying a layer of Desitin. And usually by the next day, things are better.
Which Desitin, purple or blue? Does it matter?
As long as there's zinc oxide in it, the ingredient, can be maximum strength or...
Wow, good to
purple
know.
Purple or blue? Look at you.
I purple. I'm
it's
a
the
fan.
Maximum strength.
Yeah.
40%.
Yeah. I love me some purple Desitin. This is another bathing type of thing. I'm a dad...
But if it burns when they pee, that's when you want to see a doctor, because that could be a urinary tract infection. If they go to the bathroom, pee, and say it hurts when they pee.
Okay. What about kids? I heard this woman say, like, I forget, was it a TV show I was watching? She's like, oh, my son holds his pee like all day. Sometimes children don't want to stop playing with pee. So how would you deal with that?
Okay, these are bangers.
Thank you.
So some kids can hold their pee all day and get away with it. And it's not a problem. But I think of the bladder. I described to patients that the bladder is like a scrunchier rubber band. And that if it gets too stretched often enough, it gets floppier and doesn't work as well. So you know the scrunchie that you use too much, all of a sudden it's not working as well. It's the same with peeing. So if you hold it for too long, then sometimes the bladder doesn't work as effectively. And kids feel the urge to pee all the time. Or they may start having accidents. So as soon as you see your kid doing what I call the curtsy dance, like they're out playing, you know, in the park and they're having too much fun and you see them cross their legs and bend over, you want to make sure they try to go to the bathroom.
And how do you entice them?
To go?
Yeah.
There's always bribery.
Bribery is huge. And I've been doing that a lot with my second child. I was so anti.
An M&M.
Yeah, I was so anti-bribery with Ellis and with Julian. I'm like, you want candy? Come on, let's go. Do you not want to get a treat today? Do the thing.
Yeah. Or you could just say, you know, come with me. We're just going to go for a couple of minutes. You're going to feel better after you pee. And then, and then we'll come back out and play. M&M. Kids are just having too much fun in general. They don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to stop.
No, they don't want to stop. That's why I love them.
Yeah, me too.
We should all be more like that.
Right? I know. They're so fun.
Yeah.
Okay, here's
it's
another.
About having fun.
And no, I'm a dad of a nearly three-year-old girl daughter. Why can't I read tonight? I read that like I was retarded. Okay. My wife usually showers with her, but sometimes she works late or on a weekend, and the kid can get pretty filthy. When I do shower with her, I wear underwear or a bathing suit, but my question is whether or not it's a terrible idea, psychologically damaging to be naked as a boy man in front of my girl daughter. It would be much easier to just shower with her than to bathe her, dry her off, and get her dressed, then shower myself after. Is my concern / question / existence valid, or am I just straight tick-tarded? And before you ask, no, we don't have a bathtub, so stick that thought back to your clam. Okay, love you, bye. It's a little aggressive at the end there, Dad.
Okay, so just to summarize, the question is how he's being naked lazy in front of his kid.
Is, he's like, okay, this is written like a fucking dad. So basically he's like, can I shower with my kid so that I don't have to bathe her, take her out, dry her, dress her, and then take a separate shower myself?
For efficiency.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Take a separate shower, you animal. Shower.
Yeah. Just because as soon as, when they're really little, okay, but then as soon as they have a memory or they're kind of looking in that area, you don't want them to have a memory of showering with you naked.
Of dad's dong towering over their head because they're so small.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. Here's what you do, kiddo. I know, like, you don't I don't want to see my dad's dong as a little kid. Okay, so here's what you do.
I don't have a memory of my dad, and I'm so great. Thanks, Dad. I am so grateful that he started, you know, I don't have any memory of that, and I'm glad about that.
Oh, my God. So, like... Here's what you're going to do.
Never thought I'm publicly thinking about
that. For not saying your dad's dong. Yeah. It is traumatizing because I have memories of my dad's dong because he would sunbathe nude all the time.
Yeah.
And I would have to be like, Dad, my friends are coming over. Do you think you could cover your dong? And he's like, oh, God, do I have to? Like, he was so hassled by covering up. He's like, well, what are you European? You don't have to do that.
But on the flip side, God, you have a stable relationship, stable marriage.
I know. After 10 years of therapy, undoing the trauma. Come on, Jess. Okay. Here's the thing. All right. Here's what you're going to do, Dad. Okay? Because I get
playing
this
from
moms.
Playing the opposite
side. Yeah, like. Yeah.
But no, to that dad, I would definitely just wear their bathing suit.
It is lazier.
Just wear your bathing suit.
Wear your bathing suit if you're gonna. Or
so easy.
You bathe her, dry her. Put her in her jammies at night before bed, put her to bed, and that's when you take a shower. Or if you're really bold, you can wake up 10 minutes before your kids and take your shower then, which is, I've done both tactics. So that way you're
smart,
not in front of them. Now, let me ask you this, because I shower and Julian is at this phase now where he gets livid with me if I have the audacity to walk away from him and do something that he hasn't cleared.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, he's like, no, but mommy, I'm gonna throw you in the trash. And he gets so mad at me and he goes, what is it? What's his word? Oh, I forget what he says. He gets so mad at me. So he'll bust in on me and then they see me naked. Ellis does, Julian. Ellis is 5 now. Am I traumatizing him with my big old mom slops? He doesn't see my vag.
Does he look? Is he looking?
Probably.
Is he paying attention? It's time.
Time to cover up.
Yeah.
Could they always barge in? I got to lock it and then just deal with him screaming and crying.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
Julian likes to hit my mom tits and he like actively is like, let me hit your boobs. I want to hit them. I'm like, no, like he loves them. Okay. So they're going to be scarred is what you're saying.
No.
They're going to need therapy for that. No. Good job, mom.
No, you're a great mom. Yeah. Good kids.
Yeah. Okay, let me see. I don't want to miss out on anybody. Any confessions, mom hacks. Oh.
I think all kids want to hit their mom's breast, though.
Is that normal?
Yeah.
God, my kids are just freaks. Okay.
No.
My son had a circumcision at birth, and they said it all went well, except he has tiny more blood loss. Cool. Oh, except he had a tiny more blood loss. Cool. But we've noticed that his extra foreskin will reattach around the head of his penis. We've just been stretching it and applying Vaseline when it finally detaches. Is there anything else we can do? Will he grow out of this?
So as long as it's... Okay, so what they're saying is sometimes after circumcising, it's really common to get what we call penile adhesions. So a little bit of the skin can kind of reattach to the top. Vaseline is absolutely fine. Sometimes as kids get older, their bodies make more testosterone and you don't need to do that anymore. It will retract nicely on its own. But if it gets too attached, I would see your doctor because sometimes a steroid application will make a big difference and make it retract much easier if Vaseline's not working.
Gosh, peeners. Okay, here's this one. This is sort of hard to write about, but I'd like Dr. Jessica's input. My oldest son is 7, almost 8 years old in first grade. We have been able to go to school all year thanks to our amazing district, teachers, and everyone wearing masks all year, for which I'm extremely grateful because homeschool is not my jam. However, my son has been having behavioral issues, angry outbursts when things don't go his way, throwing things, refusing to participate. He was going to the principal's office slot until they realized he liked it. He hasn't ever hurt anybody, but I worry when he throws stuff, there might be collateral damage. It's not every day or every week, and he is getting better, I think. The school has been great with working with us, but lately he has been saying things when he gets upset that he hates his life, he wishes he didn't exist, and dark shit like that. It's heartbreaking, but at the same time, a part of me feels like he is doing it for a reaction. The school has suggested we talk to his pediatrician. I'm taking that as they think he needs meds, but I'm not comfortable putting my 7-year-old on meds because he has big emotions. I think he still needs to develop the skills to deal with his feelings and frustration, and I'm worried if he has started on some type of medication, he won't be able to. I feel like a shitty mom because of all this, but I'm trying my best. All right, Alex, what do we do?
Okay, so first of all, I would not be afraid to talk to your pediatrician. A good pediatrician is not going to push you to take medications.
Meds,
no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. And it's, they might educate you, but it's ultimately your decision as the parent. But I totally agree. Like, when families come to me, I rarely end up putting a child on a medication. We more brainstorm strategies on how to deal with the emotions, maybe think about seeing a therapist. But when a 7-year-old, the child's 7, right?
Yes, going on almost 8 years old.
When they say things about ending their life, that's almost always just a call for attention. They don't really mean it. It's different. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were 17, that'd be a different statement to make, or 14. But a 7-year-old saying something like that, I really think is just a they probably get a reaction. And so if you get a reaction from your parent, you know, if you can't get, kids just like attention, whether it's positive or negative, they just like attention. So if they make a comment like that and they get a reaction, they'll keep doing it.
That's so true. That is so true. It's like, why do my kids, the only, like when they really ramp up, mommy, 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 is when I'm trying to make a phone call, when I'm needing to ignore them.
Yes.
Forget it.
Absolutely.
Forget it.
I know. No, when I'm on call at home and I have to return a phone call, and I apologize to anybody that I've done this to, that's when they the volume goes up and the complaints and the yeah. That's when my kids are really, really needing my attention.
Yeah.
When I'm on the phone.
They want it.
Yeah, they want it.
God, so annoying.
But I would definitely talk to your pediatrician or someone you're close with. And probably what I would do with that family, if we can't strategize ways to help the child, then I would recommend a good therapist.
Yeah.
Which can be really helpful.
I think a therapist is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, this year, I think everybody I know
yes.
has gone through some horrible trauma. Like, we've
absolutely.
All been traumatized by
everybody's
this.
Been affected.
Yeah.
Yes. And, kids, adults, everybody.
So I've given a pass.
Thank God I've had a friend.
Thank God for us. But I've been like, you know, so many of our friends are just, everybody's lost their damn marbles. But I'm like, you know what? This year, everyone gets a pass. 2020 and 2021, free pass. Just be an asshole.
I think that's a good way to just be an asshole.
No, I mean, you know, you can't judge. It's not a regular occurrence. So maybe this kid is reacting too to like a wacky year.
Absolutely.
Everyone's going through.
Kids have been isolated. They're not seeing friends like they usually have. And I think kids really, they're more observant with parents' stress than we realize.
Yeah, definitely.
So they feel it. Absolutely.
They feel it. Of course they feel. I'm sorry. I'm laughing because Tom and I, Tom's got a relative who is really, 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 really afraid of COVID, like neurotic. And
I think we all have one of those.
Everyone has one.
Yeah,
everyone has one in the family. And we FaceTimed with him.
Or a friend. Or,
Yeah. They're all off the deep end. And he was wearing a mask in his own home on his couch with his two children on either side of him because he had traveled. And just like, okay,
well,
what are you doing?
Well, okay, there are the CDC guidelines to
Go ahead.
To isolate for 10 days if you're not vaccinated after travel.
He's vaccinated.
So maybe he's following the rules. Oh, he's vaccinated?
Vaccinated.
They just changed that rule this week, a few days ago. So maybe he's a rule follower, which we have to respect.
Sorry, so now if you are vaccinated, you still have to quarantine?
Not anymore, yeah. Yeah, I think they changed it April 2nd.
Look, we're all just trying to stay safe. I get that. Like, everybody's just trying. It's just you. Yeah, I think we're all tired of it.
I agree. There's definitely COVID fatigue.
COVID?
I have it.
Oh, are you over it?
I admit it, yeah.
Let's do something funny to get us out of this show now.
Let's do it.
Thank you for answering all those questions. I believe that covers a lot of them. We don't have any, because I didn't ask for voicemail. So
no, thank you. Yeah, so things like that I'll try to put on once a week, try to put like a short video.
Ask Dr. Jessica on Instagram at
Ask Short, Dr. under 5 minutes, just explaining common questions that I get.
What are the other ones people can look at? You said allergies.
Check it out. It's on the YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Jessica.
Oh, and YouTube, Ask Dr. Jessica.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Great. This is so helpful because I, you hear this stuff every day. Do we see grandparents during COVID? Nasal allergies, child stuttering, how to prevent choking in children, you know, seeing grandparents, all this stuff, teething, all this stuff. This is fantastic. What sunscreen is best for your kids? Are heavy metals in the baby food? I mean, you get asked all this stuff.
Email me questions and I'll do it.
Yeah. Yes. Email her.
By the way, whose idea was this? Who gets the credit for it?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I wanted to, what did I bring? You asked if multivitamins are necessary for children. I mean, you had a video and what, this was interesting because every time I'm convinced that my kids are like not getting enough nutrients and I'm depriving them because I'm feeding them. Before we answer, what's the email people can email you at, Jess?
I forget. I think it's on my YouTube.
Okay. So it's listed there. You guys, she'll, can you check it, Zolo, and report back?
Do you see it there?
I am not a robot. Here we go. Ask Dr. Jessica MD at gmail.com. Ask Dr. Jessica MD at gmail.com. That's for her YouTube page. You can ask her questions there. And can people contact you on your Instagram? Can they slide into your DMs, as the kids say?
I think so.
Yeah. You're like, I don't even know what that is. I didn't know for the longest time. And then one of the boys was like, you know, you have like so many DMs. Like
the first time I heard the letters DM was Tom. He said something about a DM and I said, what is a DM?
I'm so
old, right?
We talked about, what were we just talking about?
Oh, multivitamins?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought this was fascinating. So should you give your kid a multivitamin? You're worried that they're maybe pastatarians.
Yeah. So, okay. All the parents. So most 2-year-olds I meet, and I ask them, how's your child doing? What are your concerns? Most of the time, a parent of a 2-year-old will say they're a picky eater, and I'm worried they're a picky eater. And so I think parents feel more comfortable about their pickiness because they're giving them, when they give them a daily multivitamin. But what's interesting about and we're all used to it. Like when I was a kid, I took a Flintstones. What'd you take?
Flintstones all the way.
Yeah. Everyone took a multivitamin. We're so used to it. But what's really interesting about vitamins is that for most kids that aren't, you know, nutritionally lacking because they're vegan or anemic or for some reason, most kids get the nutrients they need from the diet that they have. And that I think when you give them a multivitamin, it gives parents sort of a excuse not to try harder getting them to eat better foods. So for example, they'll say, oh, my kid, you know, has mac and cheese, but at least I know you like mac and cheese. That's what I thought.
Every day.
Or like my kid gets McDonald's, but at least they get their multivitamin.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. And so I'm a believer that it's much better to get, you know, vitamin A from the actual vegetables and the actual nutrient-rich foods, because there's other things that come in foods that are helpful, not just vitamins. There's micronutrients, there's fiber. It makes kids feel fuller from good foods rather than relying on a vitamin.
Well, that's the tricky part, is how do you get the 2-year-old...
It is tricky.
Trial and error. You have to find.
It is tricky.
Yeah. So how do you get them to eat healthier?
So I really believe that if kids are hungry enough, they will eat what you put out. They will eat what you put out. And if you role model as parents, you know, there's things you can, if you buy it in the house and you keep plentiful, good, healthy foods, eventually they're going to eat.
Eventually.
So absolutely. Kids don't starve in America.
No.
I've never had a starving kid. I've had lots of overweight kids, but I've never had a kid.
Yeah, with Julian, because he's on that 2-year-old thing where like he'll love eating something great, chicken, and then one day it's like no chicken.
That's what they do.
Done.
Yeah, some days they're great eaters. You think you're the best parent. I feel like I'm the best parent in the world when my kids are eating vegetables.
Yeah.
And then the next day they're not as into it, and that's just what kids do. And I think that I'm a big believer in what we call evidence-based medicine. What do the studies show? And there's never been a study showing that multivitamins do anything for kids.
Wow.
So any outcome you can think of, like, will my kid have a better IQ? Or will my kid be, I don't know. Why do you give your kid multivitamins?
I mean, less just cold? To cover your bases. No, just to be like, I just tapped that base. I mean, it's a piece of candy for them. It's just like a fake reward, really.
It's really just, I think why kids like them is their candy.
Yeah, it's like a gummy. It's bullshit. It's just a thing we do to get them to brush their teeth in the morning. I don't rely on them.
Yeah.
Another thing I saw on Instagram, this woman tries to get her children to eat healthy. And like, she said that sometimes fruits offer the same
vitamins, like for instance, blueberries,
yes,
as opposed to whatever you're trying to get them, like kale. They're not going to eat kale, but they'll eat a blueberry. They won't. They might eat an apple.
It's
they
great.
Might eat a banana.
Some variety.
Some variety. Carrot. And then, you know, we try to do like ants on a log, and they sometimes they see through that shit. Sometimes they don't.
You just try your best.
Try your best. Yeah. And then, what we've been doing is, So what I do too.
I like those. Yeah. I used to like those.
Yeah. Yeah. What I do is I just put it on the plate.
Yes.
I just put the vegetables on their plate.
Yep.
So even if they're not going to eat it, they see that that's where that goes.
Right.
That's what normal people do.
That's right.
When you grow up, this should be on your plate.
That's
so
right.
Even if you don't eat it, it's fucking there, man.
They're used to it. They know it's part of the daily diet. I think that it's much easier to change habits or to form. It's much easier to form good habits from a young age than to try to change it when they're older.
Mm.
Because adults get, you know, if you're used to having Carl's Jr. all the time, when you get older, you're still going to crave that Carl's Jr. It's much harder to break those habits. So if you start kids young, really trying to get those nutrient-rich foods like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, you'll serve them much better when they're older.
Yeah,
you do them a favor.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's funny because I didn't know that I had a crappy diet until I was pregnant with Ellis. Because as that caller, that follow-up voicemail was like, oh my God, you know, Stouffer's pizza. Like, I grew up eating French bread pizza and frozen. I grew up eating Salisbury steak. I grew up with Carl's Jr. My dad would take me there
too.
Like every day after
school. I love Carl's Jr.
Right, like Cupid's hot dogs. Yeah. Like all this crap was my dinner. My dinners when I lived with, you know, single dad. So when I was pregnant with Ellis, I would eat Carl's Jr. in and out, all that stuff. And I gained so much weight. And I was like, gosh, I don't know that I really know how to eat properly. I'm not sure I know what good nutrition is. And like, and so when you're feeding your kids is when you learn, like, oh, this is
right. You want to model for them in a good way.
Wow.
I think it also shows you though, how resilient humans are. Like you don't have to be perfect.
No,
you don't have to eat perfectly. You just want to try your best.
No, because you know? Then there you see those moms on Instagram. They're like, "Well, I fed him a quinoa kale salad with goat cheese," and you're like, "Really? Did they love it? Did they just devour their quinoa pizza? You dumb dumb! Like, it's okay every now and then."
Do you follow those moms? I just don't even love it. I don't even. I just, you know, you try your best. Like, we get our kids. We'll go to the farmer's market or before COVID, and they'll sample things and they'll try things off our plate, and just little by little.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Yeah,
and like,
but I don't know why I feel so good when my kids eat vegetables.
I do too.
I think it's odd.
It's such a victory.
Is it? Is that normal? I don't know if it's normal.
I started doing. So I've always made vegetable soups in my house for dinner. I love veggie soup. And I the poop soup. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Look at you. And now Juju's into my. He's been eating my poop soup for like 6-8 months now, and I love it because he thinks it's a huge treat because he's eating out of mommy's bowl. And he likes the tomato. So I put a lot of tomatoes in it. And that's a nice way to trick them. Also, I found a great way to trick them is because they just want to eat what's on your plate.
Okay. Yep. That's true. So they model after. That's why your role modeling is huge.
Yeah. So you just put what you want them to eat on your plate. And eventually, I want to try that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, one of the biggest risk factors for kids being obese is having obese parents.
Oh, well.
So it makes a big difference. Like you as parents role modeling good dietary behaviors is a big difference.
It's most important.
More than the multivitamin is just, you know, every year I get a call about a kid having 20 of them and parents worried.
So what happens with that? Is that, can you OD on Flintstones?
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your body will get rid of the additional, right?
Yeah.
Nutrients?
It'll pee the extra. B and C they'll pee out the extra.
Damn. Yeah.
A, D, E, and K, they don't. They can get
so
too much.
What'll happen to them? No. Liver failure?
Call poison control. Make sure it's okay. 1-800-222-1222.
Goodness gracious.
But they're almost always fine. If they over, every time I've had a kid overdose on gummy multivitamins, they're fine.
Yeah. I remember one time there was like, I thought they were candy when I was a kid and my dad was at work and I just ate like the whole thing of Flintstone vitamins. Nothing happened. And they tasted like shit. They were like salty and not
sweet.
Yeah.
Flintstones are chalky. Gross. What flavor did you like?
Purples, my jam and pink. Obviously.
Pink. I like pink and orange.
Yeah.
Pink and orange.
So good.
Yeah.
Such good times.
Yeah.
Anything else? Have we covered it all? Is there any other thing you can think of that you get asked constantly that we haven't gone through? What do you get every day?
Every day.
My kid's got fever, diarrhea.
Oh, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Fever, diarrhea, COVID, anxiety.
And kids are anxious now, yeah? You said there's an uptick in depression. Well, of course. Yeah, but who isn't?
Yeah.
Who the heck isn't? So what do you do if your kid's anxious?
What do I do if they're anxious?
What do you do?
My goodness. I try to listen. You listen. Give them I think a lot of kids just want to be listened to. You don't always have to solve the problem, but if you just give them some undivided attention for a little bit of time, it makes a big difference. Mm. Just hear their concerns. They feel better.
That is such a big diff, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, that's my strategy because my husband and I both work a lot. And so we're not always, we're not home with the kids all day, but I really make an effort when I come home. I try to give them, if they have an issue, I try to really put everything away and listen. And I do feel like it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you're a rising star pediatrician 3 years in a row, bitch.
I'm going to miss you.
Oh man. You're going to come visit me in Austin,
right? Come visit you.
Yeah. Dr. Hochman, everybody. Oak Park Pediatrics. Ask Dr. Jessica on Instagram. Ask Dr. Jessica on YouTube. You can watch her videos. You can email her. And then, you can leave me voicemail. 213-375-5184. wheremymomsat@gmail.com.
Come see her do stand-up.
Come see me do stand-up in these cities. Oh, my God. I know. Wild. Life is coming back. I'm really happy that life has resumed. It's been a wild year.
I'm very optimistic.
So am I.
Yeah. The vaccine's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited, dude. Yeah. All right. I love you. Thank you
love
again.
You. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always, dude. Anytime.
It's really fun.
Come back anytime. You're tan and lovely. It's like you went on vacation, bitch. Okay. Until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye.
Where my mom's at. Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at. Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at.
Where my mom's at.